Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. Telling you the greatest truth in all the Bible, if we could get a hold of it, is God loves you. He really does. That's the reason He provides for us, the reason He cares for us. That's the reason He wants people to serve Him. He just expects us to return His love that He expresses to us. He expects our devotion to Him. I want to say a special word of thanks to Brother Combs for standing in and leading the music program today. Brother Sam Reed is out of town. He's representing our college at football camp in Dwight, Illinois this coming week. And so that's where he is. We've got a couple of boys out of our church. My son is one of them. Justin Perrone is the other one. And I already got a call from Micah this afternoon, and Micah has already had his clock cleaned. So good for him. Right? And so he's excited about it. And I said, wonderful. That's great. And but I'm excited about Brother and Mrs. Mshindik. I've mentioned to you this morning, they've accepted the offer to come and join our church staff as our new youth pastor. And for those of you that did not get to meet them this morning, I'll introduce them at the end of the service. You can stop by. They'll be leaving tomorrow, heading back home and getting prepared to make the move down to Texas. And so you pray for them as they make that transition. Well, last Sunday night, I talked to you about the science of selfishness. You know, wouldn't the Christian life be great if it wasn't for self? Man, wouldn't it be great to serve God if the flesh wouldn't get in the way? If our selfish motives didn't get in the way? Man, it'd be a blast, wouldn't it? Problem is, that's the obstacle between us and serving God, is our self gets in the way. It wants what it wants. So I talked to you last Sunday night on the subject, the science of selfishness, just simply trying to educate us on what it is. First of all, it's sin. Okay, let me start over. I said, first of all, selfishness is sin. We're to give God our life. We're to serve God as a believer. And when we don't, that's against God. It's sin against God. It's anti-Bible. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-Christian. You can't find anything good about selfishness in the Bible. All negative. Why? Because it's anti-Christ. It's not what we as believers are supposed to be participating in. Matter of fact, selfishness is an indicator of an immature Christian life. Let me say that again. Selfishness is an indicator of an immature Christian life. Because in our Christian life, when we get saved, if we think it's about us, that's immaturity. That means we're uneducated in what the Bible says. And it's not about us, it's about God, it's about the Lord, it's about serving Him till Jesus comes. Now, we don't like to hear it, but I'll just simply say to you, you know, there's a lot of sin that we do that's outward, but selfishness is white-collar sin. That's what it is. It's white-collar sin. It's not that thing necessarily that exposes itself outward. A lot of it is done inwardly just by holding back. For him to knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him in his sin. Okay? And so what I'm saying, it's kind of that white-collar sin. We kind of all participate in it, and we've got to be careful. Now, what I want to do tonight is I want to take the second message in this little three-hop through the next Sunday, few Sunday nights, and I want to talk to you tonight about selfishness and service. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 10, if you would please. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 30. You'll recognize it when you get there. Our teenagers and our Bible locator, they ought to know one of the stories, the primary stories of Luke chapter number 10. The teenagers are thinking, what's in Luke chapter 10? They're pulling their Bible locator out right now and looking at it. But Luke chapter 10, we find one of the most familiar stories in the Bible, and it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Would you stand with me as we read it tonight? Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 30. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, wait a minute. Stop here just a minute, and let's do a little commercial right here in between these verses. Did you notice the first two guys, when they came down, they were not unfamiliar with the situation. They saw it. They realized it. They looked at him and passed by him. You see, they saw the need. They saw the situation. And willfully, intentionally, and selfishly passed by him on the other side. Now let's look on. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Look at the total difference now of how they viewed the situation. Two of them viewed it, looked on him, and passed by on the other side for self-centered, selfish reasons. And then one man comes, looks on him, sees the exact same situation, and has compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And I want to take this story. We'll look at it in just a moment. I'm going to kind of lay some foundation to the story. And then we're going to look at tonight selfishness and service. Now, Father, meet with us. We're grateful that we have the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings. and all that we've enjoyed today as we've served you through this local church. Bless our time together tonight. Teach us, Holy Ghost of God, for we ask it in thy name. Amen. And you can be seated. The enemy of a fruitful Christian life and a fruitful life of service for God is selfishness. Like I said, it'd be great to serve God if it wasn't for self. If we didn't have the obstacle that gets in our way to be productive in the Lord's work. You see, the two are totally contrary one to another. They're as different as north and south. They're as different as east and west or left and right or up and down. You see, you'll never find anything in Scripture that is conducive to serving self. Nothing good is ever said about those who become self-centered in their life as a child of God. Now, service for Christ and selfishness is like trying to mix oil and water. It cannot happen because they always separate. Always separate. That's what selfishness and serving God with the right heart and the right spirit are like. They're like trying to mix oil and water. And again, selfishness, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti-service, anti-God. Everything Christ is and desires for every believer, selfishness despises and abhors. It wants what it wants. And many times we find in Scripture that what God wants and what self wants are totally contrary one to the other. And so that's the reason we have to battle self day after day after day. Now I want to give you some examples to kind of kick things off this evening about those in Scripture that battle this thing of selfishness in service. In 1 Samuel chapter number 15, you'll find the story there of King Saul. Saul was given a command to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Now, he's the king. He understood what that meant. He didn't misunderstand the command. He understood what totally and utterly destruction meant. He was a man of war. He understood that. How many times do we in life, instructions are given to us? Remember, kids, parents give us instructions, and we don't follow those instructions, and one of our cop-outs is we didn't understand. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry, Mother. I didn't understand what you wanted. Now, okay. Now, well, I'm going to discipline you. Well, okay, I understand what you want. I'll go take care of it. Isn't it amazing how motivation has a way of getting us going in the right direction? And what I'm saying to you is God gave King Saul instruction to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Well, he's confronted with the situation, so here he goes. He goes out and he destroys and he burns and he does almost everything God tells him to do. Except he saves the king. Then he saves things that would be conducive to sacrifices. And by the way, can I say something to you? He thinks he's doing God a favor. Because surely God didn't understand. Surely he didn't want us to kill these wonderful oxen. We can use them for sacrifice. Certainly he didn't want us to kill these sheep. We could use them for sacrifice. Certainly he didn't want us to do exactly what he told us to do. And so here's what happens. Saul saves these animals thinking that he's doing God a favor. By the way, that way they won't have to go use their own, right? They can use somebody else's. Hey, I'm doing everybody good. The problem is God said, utterly destroy everything. Men, women, children, oxen, sheep, everything. Saul didn't obey. And may I say to you tonight that selfishness smothers obedience. Selfishness smothers obedience. Hey, listen, it wasn't about God's way. It was about Saul's way. It wasn't about what God desired. It was about what Saul desired. It wasn't whether, listen, God already knew what needed to be done and what his instruction was, but Saul decided, you know what? God don't always know exactly what needs to be done, so surely he would be happy if I just save these sacrifices. You see, disobedience smothers, or selfishness smothers obedience. And it smothered Saul's obedience. And guess what happened? Because of his selfish attitude toward the instructions of God, it cost him the kingdom. God rent the kingdom out of his hand. And of course, he does like most of us do. You know how it is? It's what we do. God says, I gave you instruction. You didn't fulfill it. Now, because you didn't do it, here's what has to happen. Oh boy, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of like when we take God's tithe. Amen. And God says, you know what? We can't do that. And so God then has to come into our life and discipline us because of our selfishness. And may I say to you, listen to me, tithing and not giving to God is selfishness. We think somehow that we're going to be able to take the 90% that God lets us keep and do more with it than He can do with 10%. We've lost our mind. It's selfishness. It's taking from God. So here's what happens. God comes into our life. He has to discipline us because we got selfish with our money. We kept it for ourselves. And when He disciplines us, we know exactly why He disciplined us. And what we do is we get upset, don't we? And then we say things like this. You know, we kind of have these knuckleheaded moments. Well, that's not fair. What's not fair? God's not in this to be fair. God's in this to be just. And He will be just. So be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, you know what he's doing? He's just following through with his word. He's just doing exactly what he said he would do. So Saul, selfishness smothered obedience in serving God. Let me give you another illustration tonight. Don't turn there, but you'll find in the book of Jonah. Jonah, likewise, was given instruction. Go where? Go to Nineveh. But he had his own plans, didn't he? I don't think I'll be going to Nineveh today. I think I'm going to go a totally different direction. And by the way, he probably had the same, it probably crossed his mind like it crossed many of ours. Ah, what can God do to me? Well, remember I told you last week, because of his disobedience and because of his lack of following instructions from God, he got a 3-day, 3-night, all paid bed and breakfast in the belly of a whale. Right? Hey, God says, I'll show you what I can do here. I'm going to do something I've never done before. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in the belly of a whale. How about that? Now, can you imagine being swallowed by a fish? And you go down into the belly of a fish. Can you imagine about 30 seconds? Maybe not even 30 seconds. How about 3 seconds? After he gets swallowed by a fish, can you imagine he's thinking, boy, you know what? I probably should have left and gone to Nineveh. Because this is not going to be good. When the stomach acids begin to flow, oh man, what's it going to turn me into? What is it going to do to me? But isn't it amazing how we think those things after the fact? We think about those things after the fact. But you know what landed Jonah in the belly of a whale? His selfishness did. Now, so God says, but I still got plans for you. I can still use an old selfish boy. So he calls the whale to vomit him up on the shore. Jonah gets up, takes off to Nineveh. And in Jonah chapter 3, verse number 4, he says, now listen, go preach to Nineveh. He says, I want to have a great revival there. I want to save people there. And Jonah goes to Nineveh, and here is his message to Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 4, verse number 1. Or Jonah chapter 3, verse number 4. He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. You got 40 days. It's 40 days to come to Christ, come to the Lord, or else. And that's it. That was his entire message. I mean, he had no outline. He had no introduction. He had no illustrations. All he had was one message, and he just went and said, this is the message. Now, how about that? You say, why wasn't he concerned? Because, listen to me now, because selfishness, not only does it smother obedience, it smothers compassion. You see, selfishness in service smothers compassion for people.
You know how much Jonah had compassion, how much compassion was in his heart for the Ninevites? You couldn't even measure it. You say, why? Because they were the enemy of God. He had no compassion for them. As far as he's concerned, they could have all gone to hell. He didn't care. But that's what selfishness will do to you. See, the thing about it had smothered his compassion long before he even got to Nineveh. Now here's what happens. God took that one little message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So God says, well, hey, at least my word will not return void. So what he does, God takes that one little statement and pricks the heart of the king, and the entire city that knows how to trust in the Lord, entire city came to God. Now here's what you're thinking. If you don't know the story of Jonah, you're thinking, man, I bet he's excited that people are getting born again. Go read Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 1. You know what it says? God saved them, and the scripture says, but it displeased Jonah. He wasn't happy they were getting saved. You know what he does? He does what most of us do. Man, God bless them. I can't believe God saved them. Now, the thing about it is, folks, you know, isn't it amazing? We snicker at Jonah, but I wonder how many times selfishness has smothered our compassion for soul. Hey, may I ask you, what's the difference between Jonah sitting on the hillside with his hands folded, upset that God saved Nineveh, and us sitting at home throughout the week and never telling anybody about Christ? What's the difference in that? There's no difference. There's no difference if we sit at home and do nothing about witnessing to people and nothing about trying to get people the gospel. There's no difference. You see, selfishness smothers obedience and selfishness smothers compassion. Well, let me give you one other quick illustration about selfish service. Remember old Peter? Here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord's already told him, hey, we're not going to need anything. We're going to go out here to pray. It's already done, folks. He said, there's no reason for us to battle. There's no reason for us to fight. They're going to get me. I'm going to be given over into the hands of sinful men. But old Peter, he wasn't going to accept that. So here in the Garden of Gethsemane, here come the Roman soldiers. They take Jesus, and the first thing Peter does, he doesn't fall on his knees and beg God to intervene. What he does is he takes a sword and he whacks Malchus' ear off. Now, wait a minute. You can look at that a bunch of ways, but I look at it from the angle that, you know what? He took it in his own hands. And when we take things in our own hands, what we say is, I can control the situation. How many times have things come into your life and then you took control of them? And you pulled the sword out and said, I'm going to take control of this situation. The Lord, listen, here's what the Lord said. Put the sword up. He took the ear of Malchus and put it back on. Why? Because Peter got selfish on him and tried to take the circumstance and the situation to himself. Well, Peter wasn't done. After things were done and the trial of Jesus was ongoing, Peter was identified on three different occasions. Three times he was identified as a follower of Jesus. May I say to you, not one time of the three did he ever own up to being a disciple. Not one time. You know why? Selfish. You know what? He didn't want to be exposed, did he? And you know what selfishness will do? Not only will selfishness smother obedience and smother compassion, but selfishness smothers surrender. It smothers our surrender to God's will and way for our life. And Peter denied the Lord three times because of selfish motives. We see there's some people in the scripture that serve God with selfish intent, but you know there were some people that serve God with unselfish intent. Let me take you back into the book of Genesis. Can you imagine God coming to you? Can you put yourself in Noah's situation for a second? And God comes and says he wants you to build a boat. What for? Because it's going to rain. I'm going to flood the whole earth, so I want you to build a boat. Okay, how many you want us to hold? 5, 10, 20? No. I want you to build it. Big boat. And he gave him the dimensions of the boat. Now, most of us would have said, you know what? That's just not possible. I'm sorry, I cannot possibly serve you and build a boat this big. It is impossible. Wait a minute. It might be possible with men, but nothing's impossible with God. And so he gives him the instruction, and Noah and his sons began to build a boat for a future flood in the face of ridicule. You think there might be some people that laughed at him? Of course they did. You think there might be some people that ridiculed him? Yeah. And by the way, he didn't build this boat in a year or two. It took him quite a while to build this boat. But you know, he served unselfishly. He served God and did and followed God's instruction regardless. Now listen, can you imagine? He builds the boat and then God says, now I'm going to send the animals. Then I want you and your family to get on there and I'm going to shut the door. Can you imagine what happened when God shut the door and they're sitting on there and day one goes by? Hey, Paul, got any rain coming? That's it. Day two and three and four. And they're sitting there, any rain yet? Not yet. Now, I wonder just maybe. I wonder if there might have, the eight people that were on the, I wonder if any one of them might have said, just maybe in passing at supper, you sure you heard God right? You ever been in your prayer time on your knees and something comes to your heart and you think, wait a minute, Lord, is that you? Are you telling me to do this? Are you telling me to go to the mission field? Are you telling, is you sure that's you? Yeah, that's me. That's me. Are you sure that's you? I wonder if that came up at the supper table. You see, Noah served unselfishly. Moses served unselfishly, led Israel out of Egypt. In the face of death, in the face of Pharaoh. Hey, listen, he's the one that had to go face Pharaoh. The people didn't. He's the one that had to go face them. He did it unselfishly. In the face of death, hey, he faced stiff opposition from within and without. But he served God anyway. But the greatest example of unselfish service is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse number 3 says this, for even Christ pleased not himself. For even Christ pleased not himself. May I say to you tonight that, dear folks, that Jesus, with unselfish service, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he fed the hungry, he touched the leper. By the way, he didn't do that, but he did it anyway. You know why? Because he served unselfishly. He washed the disciples' feet. He endured the cross. He forgave the guilty sinner for their sins. He was the ultimate in unselfish service. Now, whether it be Noah, whether it be Moses, whether it be the Lord, whoever it may be, many people never, ever are thanked or appreciated for their service. But may I say to you, they never stop. I doubt very seriously very many people appreciated Noah building an ark and got there and said, man, I'm going to tell you, boy, you're going to Guinness Book on this one. I'm telling you, this is something else. I doubt very seriously that any of that deterred him, whether they praised him or whether they awed. Hey, listen, they might have brought tours by and toured the ark. Say, look at here. He did this 49 years ago. He put this nail in 72 years ago. And all of these things, I doubt very seriously that he took any of that seriously. All I'm saying to you tonight is, listen, dear folks, the very thing that Satan based his temptations toward Jesus on was trying to draw out self. He was trying to get to the flesh, trying to get selfishness. Hey, turn these stones into bread if you be the Son of God. By the way, he just came off a 40-day fast. He probably hungry. Turn these stones into bread then. Appealing to the selfish. Trying to draw that out of him. Trying to draw all of these things out of him. Now, Satan couldn't draw it out of Jesus. But boy, he's certainly been pretty successful at drawing it out of man, though. To try to stop the service of God in our lives. Now, go back, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Are you still there? Luke chapter 10. I want to take and look at a few things quickly here out of this story of the Good Samaritan and talk to you just a few moments about this and then make some applications and that will be done. I want you to go back and look at the story of the Good Samaritan here for just a second, and I want to make a few comments about this and a few observations. May I say to you, number one, there will always be people to serve. There will always be people to serve. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what part of the world that you're in. There will always be people to serve. Because there's always going to be people with hurts. There's always going to be people with burdens. There's always going to be people with illnesses. And on and on and on. You know what we find here in this story? We find a person in need. You know what this old boy needed? He needed somebody to extend an unselfish hand. He needed somebody to extend a little bit of love, a little bit of care. You see, folks, I've told you many times, the only hands that Jesus has is your hands. The only feet that he's got on this earth are your feet. The only mouthpiece he's got, your mouth. The only eyes he's got, your eyes. The only ears he's got, your ears. You know what? If this man was going to be helped, somebody was going to have to help him on behalf of the Lord. Somebody was going to have to extend their hands to help him. You say, but look, he was a filthy old fella. And you know what? He was beaten and he was left half dead. Maybe his clothes were ragged out. Maybe blood all over him. Somebody said, I don't think I'm going to be able to touch him. But see, that's what selfishness does. It smothers compassion. And it smothered it in that priest. It smothered it in that Levite. You see, I'm just here to tell you that there will always be people to serve. May I say to you, number two, we find something in this story that selfishness is supported by prejudiced sight. They looked at this guy, blood, beat up, cut. No, I'm too busy. I ain't got time to take him to the emergency room. So guess what they did? Through prejudiced sight, passed by on the other side. Both of them did. And may I say to you folks, listen, don't let us get past it, because here's what we do. Some of us, you know what we'll do? We'll go out soul winning, and we'll kind of survey the land. No, that old boy over there looks like he'd cut me if I talked to him. I ain't going over there. And we look over here and we think, oh, no, those people over there, I don't think so. Amen. Don't tell me we don't do that. We do that. We're prejudiced by sight. And you know what? So when we go out, we exemplify the wonderful gift of selfishness. Because we go out and we decide who's going to be witnessed to and who's not going to be witnessed to. Folks, that is anti-God. That is anti-Christ. Go check me out in the scripture. Jesus witnessed to the rich just as quick as he witnessed to the poor. He witnessed to the healthy just as quick as he witnessed to the leper. He covered the whole gamut. It's not your job or my job to determine who or what person or where I'm going to go or who I'm going to witness to. Listen, when I go out, when they come across my path, I'm to give them the gospel. You see, but you know what? That's what selfishness does. And see, the priest saw pass by. The Levite looked pass by. May I say to you, the one thing that got David in trouble is he looked. And when he looked, he took. Right? Get you in trouble every time. You see, we're not to walk by sight. We're to walk by faith. Because you know what faith does? Faith looks to the need. It looks to the need that people have. But in this story, not only do I see those two things, I see this. God needs selfless servants. God needs selfless servants. You know why I know that this Samaritan was selfless in his service, that he wasn't selfish in his spirit and his attitude in serving God? Because the very first thing, when he looked, he had compassion on him. Priest didn't. Levite didn't. This guy had compassion on him. And you know what, folks? We're to look out onto the harvest fields because they're white in the harvest. You know what we should have? We should have compassion. We should have a burden for souls. We should have a great desire to see people saved. This Samaritan had compassion on him. Then not only that, he went to him. He went to where he was. He didn't say, come on, hey, fella, get up and come over here. I ain't got time to get off my horse. I ain't got time to get out and come down to you. Get up and come over here where I am. He couldn't. The scripture says half dead. So you know what he did? He went to him. Have you noticed, folks, the world's not beating the door down to get in the church? So guess what we got to do? If they're not beating the door down to come get the gospel, we got to take the gospel to them. So you know what we got to do? We can sit here all day long. We can say, hey, whoa, come in the church. We can put it on our website. Look right here. Come in the church. Right here. Yeah, you in here. So who are you talking to? I'm talking to that camera. That's going on our website. And I'm telling all these people, come in. You know what they're going to do? They're going to look at that and they think, yeah, right. So because I know they're not coming in, guess what? Then I've got to go to them. I've got to take it to them. I've got to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, God needs selfless servants. He had compassion. He went to him. Hey, he bound up his wounds. He took whatever he had of his own and bound up that guy's wounds. You know what that is? That's selfless service. That's selfless service. And he bound up his wounds, set him on his own beast, brought him to the town inn, took care of him. And then he says, oh, by the way, I'm going to keep on because I've got a business trip I'm involved in, but I'm going to be coming back through town here in a few days. And if there's anything that I owe you when I come, I will repay. I'll take care of it. Now, folks, you say, man, this foreign stuff. Where'd you get that, brother? That's in the Bible. It's called selfless service. It's called godlike. It's called Christianity. This is how we're supposed to be living. You see, it just looks like to me in Scripture that Scripture teaches a non-selfish form of service in favor of submission to God's will for our life. This is what He desires us to do. But you know what? Selfishness smothers the burden for souls. It smothers surrender and obedience and compassion. But wait a minute now. It also smothers willingness. Sometimes we'll say, hey, listen. We need some men to drive buses. How many of you men be committed to get your CDL license? Oh, come on now. Come on now. God, we got to have some CDL drivers. How many of you commit to get your license? And somebody raise their hand. No, you can't drive a bus. Well, why not? Because don't you understand the Cowboys are fixing to start playing? And if you drive a bus, you're going to miss some Sunday games. Amen. You see, that's how we think. So you know what we'll do? I'll wait and see if they still need them after the season. That way, I can drive between January and, oh, say, August. And I'll drive those 8 months in there. And folks, I'm just telling you, it'd be great to serve God if it wasn't for the flesh. But that old flesh, you know what it does? That's the kind of idea, that's the way it thinks. It doesn't think many times. It doesn't think Christ-like. Now, you say, okay, Brother Todd, what happens then if a person develops a selfish attitude, if they develop a selfish spirit toward the service of God, and they follow through that all of their life, what are they going to sacrifice? What is the payment for that? Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to give you two things and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Take your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, if you would please. Here's the sacrifice that will be paid. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. The Scripture says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, if we approach the service of God with a self-centered attitude, by the way, which we've learned is anti-Bible, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-service, anti-Christians, anti-everything that has to do with the Bible. But if we fall into that mode, we decided that's just the way I am. I am what I am, Brother Todd, and I'm just going to do whatever I just feel that I need to do, and that's just the way it is. You just got to accept me like I am. Okay? So if a person approaches the service of God like this, here's sacrifice number one that you're going to have to pay. First of all, selfishness will destroy your heavenly reward. It's going to destroy your heavenly reward. How many of you would say, oh, Brother Todd, I can't wait till I get to heaven and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't bank on it. Okay? Most of us may not hear that. Now, the thing about it is just what we've done. We've read the Bible enough to where we think that that's what God's going to say to everybody. But it's not. And there will be a price to be paid for a selfish attitude here on this earth. It will cost you heavenly rewards. Did you notice here he compared those types of works to wood, hay, and stubble? May I say to you that wood is actually, to some degree, usable. But may I say to you that wood, even though wood may be usable, there are some things that we do that are usable that we do for the cause of Christ, but we do it with the wrong motive. Huh? We do it with the wrong motive. And if it's not done for the glory of God, it's not rewardable. And so when we get to heaven, here's what we think. We think we get to the judgment seat of Christ. It's judgment time. God calls our name out. We step forward, have our chest stuck out. Boy, I can't wait for this. Where's the dump truck with my rewards? Hey, back it on in. We can hear. Here's what we're listening for. We're listening for that backing beeper. Beep, beep, beep. And we're listening for it to come in, and God says, so what are you doing? What are you wanting? I'm listening for the backing beeper to come in, because surely I'm going to have a dump load of rewards so that I can cast all these crowns at your feet. The Lord says, you talking about you? Yeah, me. So he calls out old Gabriel. Gabriel, bring Brother Lassiter's container to hold all of his gifts. And Gabriel flies down there and he drops in the Lord's hands a thimble. That'll about do it. See it? Said, yeah. Because he's going to look and he's going to say, Brother Lassiter, you remember all of those things that you did and how excited that you were that you did them, and you did them for you. Remember all those times that you went out soul winning, and you know what? You weren't doing it for anything just so somebody could see you go. Hey, you remember all those messages you preached? You didn't preach them for people. You preached them for your stinking self. So I think thimble will be just about right. All I'm saying, you know what? Selfishness will destroy your heavenly reward. Then he compares it to hay. You ever cut hay and baled hay? You ever seen people do it? What they do is they cut that green grass. They cut that hay and they leave it in the field. And you know what it does in the field? It dries up. You see, some of us, we get started. Remember Jesus gave us the illustration over in Matthew chapter 21? Remember he gave us the illustration of the man that had two sons? And he told the first son, he says, go into my field. Go into my vineyard and labor. And the son said, nah, ain't doing it. But later repented and went. And then he said to his second son, go into my field and into my vineyards and labor. He went in and then quit. So which one? Which one of them did what his father desired? Well, obviously the first one, because the first one didn't go but then went, repented and went in, right? Jesus gave him the illustration. Hey, listen, that there's some people, we do a work and then we leave it in the field. Oh boy, it's going to get personal now. You ready? I hate to get personal, but we got to get personal. We'll go out and we'll knock doors. Man, we got a smile on our face and we tell them about Jesus. And boy, we win people to Christ. We come back and we tell people, man, I got somebody saved. Isn't that great? Man, that's wonderful. Now, what was her name? Well, I didn't get that. Well, what's their address? Did you write their address down so we can follow up on them? Wow. You know, I didn't think about that. And what we'll do is we won't do anything to go back to try to nurture them in their growth for Christ. And you know what we do? We leave the hay in the field, drying up to nothing. And then he says that there were some that will do works that are comparative to wood. Some do comparative to hay. They just leave it in the field. Some do it with the wrong motive. And then he just flat out says, there's just some that's just plain stubble. They ain't doing nothing. They just do it. You know what stubble is? Anybody ever seen a cornfield after they go through and they just mow that rascal down? And you just see all the corn stalks and pieces. You know what that is? It's called stubble. He says, now there's just some, that's what their works are going to be like. But you know why they're that way? They just eat up with themselves. They make no attempt. They don't see any use in serving God. And then if they do, they might give God the leftovers of their life. You see, selfishness, it will leave us empty-handed. And God told us that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged, and we're going to give an account according to our works and the things that we've done based on whether they be good or bad. Now, so the first sacrifice is we're going to give the sacrifice. Selfishness will destroy your heavenly reward. But it gets even worse, folks. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Say, what's Matthew chapter 25, Brother Todd? It's a kingdom parable. Anytime you look in the scriptures and it talks about the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and he talks about those types of things, and he makes reference to the kingdom of heaven in one spot. Then he'll come back and make a reference to the kingdom of God in another spot. And I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 14, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now you know the story. He gave one 5 talents. He gave another 2 talents. Gave another 1 talent. He says, all right, guys, get with the program. The guy with 5 talents goes out and makes other 5 talents. The guy with 2 talents goes out and makes 2 more, both of them double. The guy with 1 talent, remember what he did? He took his talent and he put it in a handkerchief. And he covered it up and he dug a hole in the ground and he buried it. He thought, man, at least when he comes back, at least he'll have, at least I won't lose it. He does absolutely nothing with his God-given abilities and with the direction that God wanted him to go in life. So guess what? The master comes back. The one with 5 turns in 5 more. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. You ever thought about when that's going to happen? He says, I will make you. He didn't say I'll make you. I will make you ruler over many things. That's in the future. He said, I'm going to do it down the road here. So the guy comes with 2. Now he didn't have as many, but he came back, doubled his, and the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. And so the other guys passed by, and I'm sure the master probably said, well, where's Junior? I don't know where he is. You know where Junior is? He's out in the backyard digging his handkerchief up with his 1 little talent in there. So he brings that back to the Lord and he gives it to him and said, listen, I know that you're an austere man. I know that, you reap where you don't sow. And he goes on and on and says, I know what kind of man you are. He says, so I was kind of afraid to go do anything with it. So here you go, here's your talent. And you know what the master of that servant does? Took the talent. He didn't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He took his talent and gave it to the guy that had 5. And he said, thou wicked servant. He said, the least you could have done was at least invest in it or put it somewhere so that when I came, that at least I'd have had use or I'd have had some interest. He said, you didn't have enough sense to do that. You say, Brother Todd, what are you talking about? Here's where we're going to sacrifice if we don't serve God here. If we keep a selfish attitude. Number one, selfishness will destroy your heavenly reward. Number two, selfishness will cost you in the millennial kingdom of Christ. Now, you can believe what you want to believe. I'm just here to tell you that he didn't say well done to everybody. He said well done to the ones that produced. And those that had done a good work and had done it unselfishly, and by the way, can I tell you, the guy with 5 talents and the guy with 2 talents didn't do it for themselves. Did you notice they didn't get anything out of it? They had to give it back. They didn't keep it and say, okay, I just want to see for you how good of a steward you are. I've got 5, you can keep the other 5. No. The master kept all 10. He didn't give them anything as far as their service. You know why? Because they didn't do it for themselves. They did it for him. Now, have you ever thought about why Jesus will judge our works? Why is there even a judgment seat? Have you ever thought about when Jesus said, I will make you ruler over many things? You ever thought about when that's going to be? Could it be that our position in the millennial kingdom of Christ will reflect our service for Christ in this life? And your works for Jesus in the millennial kingdom of Christ as a believer will reflect to everyone for 1,000 years about what you did either for him or for yourself. You ever thought about that? Remember now, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Say, how does a person get there, Brother Todd? Well, Jesus made a very simple statement. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever your mind, wherever your heart is, if it's about you, then that's where your heart's going to be. If it's about the Lord, that's where your heart's going to be. Now, folks, listen, we're laying up treasures in heaven, not on earth. We're laying up treasures that are being protected by a heavenly account. But let me just throw this out lastly tonight. Not only will selfishness destroy your heavenly reward, it'll cost you in the millennial kingdom, but may I say this to you lastly? Selfishness will be a tool of torment in your life. A believer will be tormented if they live a selfish life. They will be tormented day and night. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Word of God will constantly reveal in your heart God's will and desire. Now, I'm just simply saying to you tonight, selfishness is anti-God. So you say, preacher, what point are you making? That means, folks, we need to find some place to serve. And we need to stop being takers and start being givers. We need to start giving. We need to start supplying. We need to start doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what area of ministry can I get involved in? What can I do? I promise you, if you'll set up an appointment, we'll find you something to do. You need to start working for the Lord now. Because I'm telling you, folks, the window of opportunity is starting to close. And the service of God is going to be, whatever we do for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. The scripture is very plain. Whatever I do for me, it's going to be tried by fire. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, can I tell you, they all three burn very well. They make good kindling. But you look at the other, gold and silver and precious stones, not bad, huh? But it's all based on if we can just move self out of the way so that we can serve God with all of our heart. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my home. I've been sincerely, knowledgeably, understandingly saved, born into the family of God, and I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm lifting my hand as a testimony. I know that I've been born into the family of God. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight. You're visiting with us. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a member of Trinity Baptist Church. Maybe you've been struggling in your spirit and in your soul about your salvation. And you'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need prayer Maybe you're battling. Maybe there's a turmoil going on in your soul, whatever it may be. You say, preacher, pray for him. I don't know that I've been born into the family of God. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up high. I'll pray for you. Anybody? Anybody like that? All right, maybe you're here tonight and you've already been saved, but you've never been baptized. After you've been saved, you know it's the right thing to do. You know it's what you should do. Just never done that. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. You can slip it right back down. Anybody like that? All right, God bless you. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, boy, I'm telling you, this thing, I've struggled, I've battled, and I've really let self kind of take control. It's really hindered me. It's really smothered my compassion. It's really smothered my obedience. It's really smothered my desire and burden for souls. And I understand I've let a number of things get in my way of winning souls or serving or giving or whatever God wants me to do, and open my heart and surrender. It's smothered my willingness and desire to volunteer at the church for working in a nursery or working on a bus or whatever it may be. It's hindered me. And I want to get beyond it. I don't want to be a selfish believer. How many of you here tonight would say, Brother Todd, would you pray for me? That's me. Slip your hand way up high. You say, that's me. God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. You say, I want to get self out of the way. It's literally destroying me. It's tormenting me day and night, because I know, as a believer, I'm supposed to be a giver, not a taker all the time. Now, Father, I ask you tonight to help us to see ourselves as we are. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. And, Lord, I'm convinced that so many of us, if we're not careful, we become very selfish in our service for Thee. We pick and choose and do this and do that. Will You convict us? You speak to our heart and we deny that You spoke to us. I believe probably, Lord, there's some probably young men, maybe some young ladies tonight that You've called, You have specifically spoken to about service for You, and they've ignored it because of selfish reasons. And I ask You, Lord, that You'd have Your will in this invitation. Convict our hearts. Move in such a way that You'd burden us for that call and for that desire. Have Your will and way in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? We're going to begin the invitation. We're going to begin to sing, whatever your need may be. Folks, listen, if it was me, I would just come and say, Lord, I don't know if I'm doing anything with a selfish motive, but if I am, reveal it to me right now. Clean me out, because I want to be pure and whole in everything I do. I want to do with the glory of God in mind. You know, we ought to come and just empty ourselves before the Lord. If selfishness has smothered your service or smothered your compassion, and folks, I know that it's smothered much, much of our people and their compassion for souls. Because it's very evident on the nights of soul winning where we go, there's not near as many people as there was 1 year ago. Why? Because we've become self-centered in so many areas, and all of a sudden it's my time, it's my day, it's mine, mine, mine. There's going to be a sacrifice come one day. That sacrifice is going to be for our heavenly reward, or it's going to be in the millennial kingdom of Christ. And for 1,000 years, people will get to be on display. My works, my passion for soul, all that's going to be on display before all. He said, you're faithful over a few things. I will.